Good morning. It brought me right back to my childhood. Right back to my childhood. When I was looking over these readings this past week to prepare for today, and I came to this gospel reading, before I even engaged with what the reading could say to us, I was immediately brought back to my childhood at a time when I was in religion class. And I went to a parochial school when I was a child, and we had religion every day. And back in those days, a lot of religion was taught through memorization, memorizing. I had to memorize the seven sacraments, memorize the Ten Commandments. But when I read this gospel reading this morning, I remembered something I had to memorize as a young child, and it came right to me. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. I don't know where that came from. But as a child, I had to remember who the 12 apostles were. And as I read this gospel, it was probably over 60 years ago that that memory went back to. But I remember Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. Remember those names. And as I read this gospel reading this past week, I looked at the reading, and as it said, and here are the apostles. And I go, oh, there's Peter, James, where's John, Matthew, they're all there. It was significant for Matthew in this gospel today to list their names, to make this something that is real, to make this something that touches the lives of those people, and he's telling us that. This isn't just some idea or dream, but there were these 12 people who were with Jesus, who experienced something. Of course, there are a lot more than just those 12 who followed Jesus. But when I was a child, we had to memorize those 12. Interestingly, we didn't have to memorize some of the women who followed Jesus. There were women too, Mary, Martha, Mary Magdalene, many others, and many, many other folks who were disciples and followers of Jesus. We hear of the women who followed Jesus, particularly at the time of crucifixion. You know, the women were at the cross. They were at the grave. These guys weren't. The 12 weren't. They were hidden away someplace out of fear. But the women in their courageousness and their love for this Jesus were there. And actually, they were the first ones to know of the resurrection. And actually, it's the women who went to these 12, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas, and others were gathered to proclaim the new life. In many ways, those women were the first disciples, the first sent forth to proclaim this new life. We know from Scripture there were many followers of Jesus. There were these 12, there were many others, men and women, who walked with Jesus and experienced this life with Jesus. But as I got past the memory of my childhood and memorizing names, and also brought back to me when I was in eighth grade, I won the religion award. I'm not even sure what that means today when I think about that. I guess I was good at memorizing. I don't know what it was. But I also know that in the eighth grade, I had a sister, a nun, who taught us, and she knew I wanted to be a priest, so I don't know, maybe that had some favoritism. I don't know for sure. But as I engage with this reading, one of the things that really, I practice what's called Lectio Divina. I tend to sit with the scriptures, read them slowly, so they can speak to me and I can hear them. And the one verse that really struck me was this verse, which I think I find throughout the ministry of Jesus. It's actually the second sentence. It says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. It seems throughout the ministry of Jesus, if we read it closely, Jesus is always forming a community of folks, but he's always taking them. He's always leading them. You know, follow me, walk with me. Jesus is always taking people to places that perhaps they have never been, or to places that their life wouldn't even take them to. These were people who were harassed and helpless. You know, I picture these to be people who were sort of living on the margins, living in the periphery, living on the outer parts of the society at that time. And that's where Jesus goes. It seems that's where always Jesus takes the followers, to the margins, to places beyond their normal experience of life. And margins don't need to be just physical distances or places. We all have margins in our lives. We all have peripheries in our lives, whether it's an attitude, an understanding, a lifestyle. And those margins, those peripheries can also become not just something in our personal lives, but can become part of an institution, of an organization, of a society. And we can live within those definitions. We can live that way and never really go to the margins to perhaps see something different in our own lives. And I would suggest to you that when Jesus is inviting his followers to come with him to the margins, what we hear, of course, is that in this particular reading, people are healed, lepers are made whole again. But there's something else happening that I think is even more significant. Jesus could have gone alone to the margins, but he brought these followers with him. Because I really believe, friends, that we don't go to the margins of our society to make a difference. We go to the margins of our society so that we are made different. We go to the margins, perhaps, of our own lives so that we may be made different. Going to places perhaps we don't go to. Attitudes, understandings, ways of seeing things, the way our organizations, our institutions define life. We're called to go beyond. And this reading speaks so powerfully to me in this time that we are in, where we are called, friends, to go to those places, to let go of ways that we perhaps understand the world we live in. Those are the margins. And oftentimes we like margins. It stays there. Going to the margins doesn't mean we just go there, do something, and then come back to our normal life again. But going to the margins is about entering into relationship and being made different through those relationships. And only when we do that do the margins disappear. Do we erase what keeps us from seeing more in our lives? I want to thank the folks here at St. Paul's, this faith community, who are leaders in this in so many ways. There are so many ministries here at St. Paul's that call us to see anew. Even this book study on waking up white is an example of let's go to the margins in our lives and find ways that we are made different through this. This isn't about changing, it's about us changing. And by changing the systems and structures and organizations, the way we structure our life and our world today. But I want to thank in particular one group that I consider to be real leaders in this, in our parish. And I've seen this throughout my many years here at St. Paul's. Those who lead us to the margins, those who lead us in this idea of their lives being made different by this kind of ministry of going beyond. And that group that I really want to recognize today is our youth. Our youth. Our young people here at St. Paul's have, as long as I've been here, have always been the leaders in this. They've been the examples of this. They've been models of this, of going beyond their own experience of life to be made different. Sure, to change things and make a difference in people's lives together in relationship, but so often the lives of our young people, of our youth, have been transformed and changed through the ministries they've been involved with here at St. Paul's. Go back and listen to the homilies from a few weeks ago, from our Youth Sunday and our ASP Sunday. Listen to McKenna and Emily. Listen to Eddie and Elise when they spoke. Notice what they shared with us is how this ministry that they've experienced at St. Paul's has made a difference in their lives. They weren't talking and getting up and talking about great successes that we've had. And sure, we went on ASP and we built a roof and we're proud of that, and certainly are. But what they shared are stories of their relationships with the people in that home. And they were made different. As our youth got up to speak to us, notice they were willing to be vulnerable. They were willing to share their struggles, their pains, their challenges, their anxiety in their lives. They chose not to remain safe, but go to the margins of their lives and see how that made a difference in their lives. And I want to say to our youth, and many of you know this, that this is something I have admired for years at St. Paul's. And for those of you who are graduating, as you go forth from this place, we need you to be those kind of leaders. We need you to lead, to model, to example for us what it means to go beyond, to go to the margins of our society, of our world, the margins we create in our minds, the understandings we have in our minds, the things that we assume and presume. Lead us, challenge us into the experiences that you've had, and call us to that. And so to the seniors, go forth. Be who you are as you were shaped and formed here at St. Paul's. And know that this community is always your home. You are always welcomed here as you go forth into the world. We know that you will be so rooted here, and such a part of the grounding of who we need to be. And we hope, those of us who are older, I hope we can be like you. I hope we can be like you. We need that in our lives. So let us go forth this day. Let us be truly followers of Jesus. Let us go to the margins of our lives to be made different, and for this world to change. This world, our country, needs this love. It needs this work. It needs what Jesus is calling us to love, to care, to be transformed, to let go, and be made different. You are our hope. Call us to that. We look up to you. God bless.